From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's Tuesday, March 17th, 2026. On today's show, the number of people using homelessness services in Spokane is down more than 10% from last year. We'll dive into the latest batch of data from the city. Plus, it could soon become a crime for a transgender person in Idaho to use a bathroom that doesn't match their sex assigned at birth. And though the so-called millionaire's tax got a lot of attention this legislative session in Washington, public safety issues had their own share of headlines. We'll talk about some of them with the lead Republican on the Senate Law and Justice Committee, Spokane County's Jeff Holey. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. The number of Spokaneites using emergency shelters and other housing services is decreasing. SPR's Eliza Billingham reports on the city's latest homelessness data.
The number of people using Spokane's homelessness services decreased by 11% last year compared to the year before. That's according to the most recent report the city created for the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. The study analyzes data collected from October 2024 through the end of September 2025. It counted 6,430 unique individuals using housing services. They averaged more than 100 days in the city's homeless system. Spokane's lead information system analyst, Amanda Martinez, said 13% of people moved directly from emergency shelters to permanent housing. That's up from 7% the year before.
While we did see an increase in the access to permanent housing and shelter, we do continue to see that when you combine it with additional interventions, the likelihood that someone will go to permanent housing does increase significantly.
Permanent supportive housing had more than a 50% rate of getting people into long-term independent housing. The study didn't include city services like eviction prevention or street outreach, but Housing and Human Services Director Don Kinder credits those programs for the decrease in people needing the housing services that HUD does track. I'm Eliza Billingham reporting.
Starting next month, parking in many Spokane lots will get more expensive. The City Council last night approved the final version of a new 12% parking tax. It's expected to bring in about $2 million annually. Not everyone will see an increased rate. City-owned on-street parking isn't subject to the tax, and drivers with disability placards, qualifying carpools, and government workers are exempt, as are those parking in spots designated for students, residents, or employees. Surface lots will see the full 12% hike, while parking structures with at least two floors or underground lots would only be subject to half that. Proponents say the revenue will fund a safer city for pedestrians and bikers and encourage denser redevelopment. Opponents argue higher parking costs will drive customers away from downtown businesses. The Idaho House quickly passed a bill yesterday that would make it a crime for transgender people to use a restroom, locker room, or shower facility that does not match their sex assigned at birth. James Dawson has more.
The measure would apply to both government and private businesses. Anyone caught knowingly violating the bill would be charged with a misdemeanor for the first offense and a felony for a second incident within 5 years. Republican Representative Barbara Ehart says society never used to bat an eye at keeping bathrooms separated by sex.
I do not understand why we seem to all of a sudden have a problem with discerning who is who and where we each should be.
Representative Clay Handy, one of the few Republicans to oppose the bill, says allowing transgender people to use the bathroom isn't a problem.
I've seen people in every way, shape, or form all over the world going to the bathroom. And to tell you the truth, I don't know if very many people are sexually aroused by watching someone go to the bathroom.
House lawmakers easily passed the measure, which now goes to the Senate for consideration. James Dawson, Boise State Public Radio News.
Anyone arrested in Idaho could have their immigration status and nationality checked and recorded by law enforcement under a bill advancing in Boise. A committee voted narrowly yesterday to send the measure to the House floor. Benoit County Republican Dale Hawkins says his bill will help address the issue of overcrowded jails by giving law enforcement more information about who's being held in detention that, quote, doesn't belong here. Hawkins' bill would also require twice-a-year reporting of the immigration status of every person arrested, as well as the number of undocumented people investigated, detained, and transferred to federal officials. Opponents, like the Idaho Chiefs of Police Association, say language in the bill could add to the burden on city police, impeding their other work, and likely cause redundant reporting by sheriff's office deputies. Northwest professional basketball fans are getting another sign the NBA may return to Washington. ESPN reports the league's Board of Governors may vote next week to explore whether to add teams in Seattle and Las Vegas. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver has previously mentioned Seattle as a possibility if the league decides to add two teams, and Governor Bob Ferguson voiced his support for the expansion in a social media post yesterday. He's also previously met with Silver to discuss bringing a team to Washington. Seattle was home to the Supersonics for 41 seasons until the then-owner moved the team to Oklahoma City in 2008. ESPN reports the new teams would begin play in the 2028-29 season. Washington state legislators are back home after wrapping up their 60-day session last week. An income tax for millionaires received most of the media attention during the final days of the gathering, but public safety issues drew headlines too. Spokane County Republican Senator Jeff Holy is the lead minority member on his chamber's Law and Justice Committee. He spoke with SPR's Doug Nadvornik.
Last year, Jeff Holy was one of the architects of a proposal to direct $100 million state dollars to local policing agencies so they could hire more cops and other public safety personnel. It was quite an accomplishment considering the divide between legislators who believe police need more resources and legislators who are skeptical about policing. Holy's bill was heavily amended to make it palatable to legislators on both sides. The Criminal Justice Training Commission created a fund from which local agencies can draw, but the application process isn't easy. It appears that finally some of that money is starting to make its way to local police departments. That's where I started my conversation with Holy. I was just reading in the Washington State Standard regarding the $100 million for policing agencies and that money finally starting to be freed. How do you view this, just in terms of finally getting some of this money out to where it was you had intended it for it to be?
It was a policy statement. There's money up available. Here's a criteria that has to be met. And CJTC was supposed to put together an administrative format that allowed people to have the access to apply. And I mean, for about 10 months, I mean, dead airspace. Nobody out there could get everything together. CJTC didn't even have a process yet. It took them, you know, a period of time to develop that. And if I remember right, I think I heard that Kent and Black Diamond just this week are the first two that actually have applied for the grant. And Kent was, I don't know, a couple million, I think, and Black Diamond was probably less than a half million on that. But I mean, both of them actually met the criteria, figured out a way to navigate the process that the CJTC put in place and got there. So we're actually seeing some movement on this, although I was getting pretty frustrated with a whole year's worth of, non-action on this, just because it appeared that the criteria was almost prohibitive. And the process had not been established. I know there's a bunch of other towns out there, too. They're looking at this.
Are there any agencies in your district that are thinking about it, or are you hearing that this is just too damn complicated?
It's not that. I think the process is so new here, and I think it's the 0.1%, sales tax, that you actually have to be first money in. If you don't actually have something like that in place, you can divert the revenue stream to, this specific purpose. I got close to me. I've got Colfax, if I remember right, probably Wenatchee. Who else? Maybe one of the Tri-Cities, I think, on that. There's cities out that are, I know other people out there. There's a half dozen counties that have looked into this, that have, made inquiries into it. And so I know everybody's trying to figure out how to navigate this. I'm hoping to see since Kent and Black Diamond broke the ice that, the process is viable, can be accomplished, and the more people will start moving. You start to build that critical mass as everybody follows when a path has been cut. I see that happening over the next year or so here, and if not, maybe I'll try and revisit it and see if we can't get something going.
So there's also the bill that was approved that requires sheriffs to become certified cops, essentially, over a period of time, and that drew a lot of ire from your side of the aisle, too. Can you explain the depth of feeling there, too?
These are the things that appear to be as much political messaging as other. Counties are creatures of state constitution. Cities are creatures of state statute. And the counties out there, there are specific county officers that are defined in the state constitution. They have to be there. Sheriffs are one of them. So it's a constitutionally protected elected position. I think there's constitutional issues with this bill, and they've been brought up several times, and they seem to be ignored. I get a feeling that as soon as this is put in place, that this also will be litigated to determine if it's constitutional, state constitutional viability. And so there's that kind of a trying to do something before actually figuring out if it's appropriate. That's part of it. And quite frankly, the other part is there's a couple of sheriffs that have been fairly vocal about their positions there and refused to accommodate some of the policy issues, for example, that the prevailing party would put in place that they would like to see accomplished. And just saying, well, I'm an independent elected position, you're not going to determine specifically, outside what my duties are, how I'm going to do my job. So, I mean, there's this kind of a two schools of thought about this. And there appears to be not a lot of room for compromise in the middle. One is going to end up being right, when the Supreme Court finally gets a hold of this and other be wrong. And then we'll move from there.
Jeff Holey is a Republican in the Senate serving the 6th Legislative District. I'm Doug Nadvornik reporting.
SPR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting today was contributed by Eliza Billingham, James Dawson, Doug Nadvornik, and me, Owen Henderson. I'm also your host and producer. Eliza Billingham provides digital support. Thanks for listening. It's SPR.